I appreciate so much what Betty shared this morning with us, or this afternoon it was, wasn't it? But I felt a little bit like my husband did when Gene Moore got up here. He punched me and he said, there goes my first point. And then pretty soon he punched me and there goes my first scripture. So if some of what we said that I say this morning overlaps a little bit with what Betty shared, well, I'll just tell you what they used to tell us when we went to conferences at Glen Eyrie each year with the navigators, and they would share some of the same messages, the basic ones, quiet time, this sort of thing, and they'd say, well, good, maybe you'll get it this time. But some of it will be the same. What is that in your hand? You recall that's what the Lord asked Moses in Exodus 4. Said, Moses, what is that in thy hand? And Moses said, a rod. And the Lord said, do what I tell you to do with that rod, and you will see my power displayed in a miraculous way. I think that's what the Lord is saying to us today as women, as wives. What do you have in your hand? And we could well say our home. I'll be sharing primarily with wives today, but if you're here and single as yet, possibly you can file something away for future reference, or I trust that some of it will apply to you in your present situation. When I saw this title, The Home is the Base of Ministry, I thought, wrong person or wrong subject? I don't know anything about home ministry. And then I had to stop and reflect upon this word ministry. And I wonder if this could be a problem that's common to us as women. Perhaps we think of our preachers as having a ministry, or our husbands, but when it comes to us, maybe we've heard or even said for too long, I'm just a housewife, just a housewife. Well, I needed to be reminded, and maybe you do too, that ours is a God-given ministry. And that in a sense, all that goes on within the realm of our home is our ministry. That ours is a high calling. I have a little plaque above my kitchen sink. Maybe you have one like it that says, divine service will be conducted here daily. A few months back, we were loaned a dishwasher, and I thought, oh, I have to get rid of my little plaque now. And then I remembered that I'd still be scraping and rinsing the dishes. And Colossians 3:23 says, whatever I can do with my heart as of the Lord. That's divine service. Colossians 4:17 in the Berkeley translation says, attend to the ministry which you have received in the Lord so as to do it full credit. If we're agreed that our homes and what goes on there is our ministry, then are we doing it full credit? Is our home bringing glory to God? Are we using it to reach people with the wonderful good news of the gospel? Are we seeing others come to know Jesus Christ personally and seeing them grow to maturity so that they in turn can reach others and help them grow to maturity so that they can reach others and so on? Well, maybe in your heart this morning you can say, yes, I know that I'm doing everything in the ministry that God has given me that He would want me to do. But if we're here this morning and we can't say that, then let's ask ourselves why. It may well be we'll discover that our homes are not really yielded, dedicated. Or maybe that we just lack vision. This afternoon we don't plan to dwell on the husband-wife relationship or that of our ministry as mothers. But I don't think we could even touch on the subject of our home as a base of ministry without at least saying something about this. And of course Betty has already shared some wonderful things along this line. But just a couple of things I'd like to share concerning our honeys. At one of the first Navigator conferences my husband and I attended, we heard how numerous churches, mission boards, and various Christian organizations had written telling of their need for men with at least a measure of training in Bible study methods, evangelism, follow-up. Letters saying that the harvest truly was plenteous, but the labors were few. And then I recall Lila Trotman saying to the wives a little later, you know, we have some men we could send, but we can't use them because of their wives. Well, I don't know what that does to you, But it made me get alone before the Lord and say, "Oh Lord, don't let this be true in my case. If you can use Bob, don't let me be the means of holding him back." And then some of you will remember Leela Sparks and her Faith of the Godly Woman. Leela's husband, Doug, heads up our European work. And by the way, if you haven't heard this marvelous tape, be sure to get a hold of it. I'm sure it's available through the Gene Moore tape library if some of you don't have it here. But on this tape, Leela tells of a dear godly man who would come to their home upon every little pretext and just linger there. And they discovered that this man just hated the thought of going home to a nagging, wilted wife. Well, maybe we need to remind ourselves that God created us as a helper to our husband, as Betty mentioned, a helper. I love what I heard Irma Ward share on the tape recently. She was quoting from 1 Corinthians 11:8-9. "For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man." She said, what we love to do is to twist things around a little. We love to think that God created woman, and he said, look at that sweet, helpless little thing. Not good that she should be alone. I'll create for her a man to protect her and care for her and lavish affection upon her and meet all the needs in her life. Well, it sounds good, doesn't it? But we know what really happened is that God created man, and he said, it's not good that he should be alone. I will create for him a helper. Are we being the kind of helper to our husbands that we should be? Do we encourage him? Do we pray for him? Do we seek to build God's confidence in his mind? And then concerning our children, some of you will remember at Layman's Institute, Howard Butt telling a little story that I think it bears repeating. He told of a certain famous man, and I'm sorry I don't recall his name, but the story went like this. This man, when asked if any certain day in his life stood out as being more important than any other day, said, "Yes, once when I was a boy, I recorded in my diary, 'Today Dad took me fishing. It was the greatest day of my life.'" And he said, over the years, that still had remained the greatest day in his life. And it would be a nice story if it ended there, but the sad truth was that when this man's father died and his diary was opened to that same date, it read, "Today I took my son fishing. The day was wasted." Speaks volumes, doesn't it? And then, also at Layman's Institute, one afternoon we were being asked different questions in discussion groups to help us get acquainted. And one of the questions was this: what warmth or times of warmth do you recall in your home between the ages 7 to 12? Well, one said it was when the whole family got together for big dinner, a feast. Another said it was a certain time that they observed at tea time, and that all their friends and relatives were invited to drop in at that hour. And another said it was simply when the whole family went romping together in the woods. But several could not remember any times of warmth in their home. I was one of them. And I wonder if our children were asked this question, what they would have to relate. What will they remember of good times, of times of warmth and love with us? You know, they grow up and are gone so fast. We're going to have 2 in college next year and only 1 at home. Let's just be sure we take time for them while there's still time. Let's think for a few minutes now about some other ways in which we can use our home, such as home Bible studies. I know some of you are already doing this. I mentioned to you earlier my negative response at first about sharing anything along this line of home ministry. I just said, "Lord, I don't know anything about home ministry." And he not only reminded me about my ministry as a wife and a mother and homemaker, but also that we had had a number of people in our home past few years, and this led me to do something I'd never done before, nor had Bob. I took a pencil in hand and did a little figuring, and what I came up with was rather startling to us. The Lord used it to help me see that we had had ministry to the numbers, too. Since we met Christ in June of 1956, we've had more than 10,000 people come to our home just to hear the word or to study it. And this number is not evangelistically speaking. Before the Lord, I feel it's the very minimum number I could use and be anywhere near accurate. Of this number, many were the same ones coming back week after week, but all coming to hear or study God's word. Now, if you're acquainted with the Navigators at all, you know that we stress the importance of the individual rather than of numbers. But I don't think it's necessarily a matter of either or, but this for us. Are we willing for our homes to be used for the numbers? At present in Denver, we have a weekly Bible study of 80 to 90 people who meet in our homes. We break up into 10 groups to study. And then once a month, we have an evangelistic meeting of 120 to 150. But when we first went to Denver, we started a meeting with just 8 to 10 couples. And it had been their practice, they'd been meeting previously together, to break up in different groups, go to different homes for a study each week. And it got so I dreaded the time of the week when we'd say, well, where will we have it next time? The hesitation on the part of the wives, the husband would often say, well, we can have it, can't we, honey? And the wife would say, it's such and such and so and such can happen. Hesitation. Once we arrived at a home, and a wife practically met us at the door with, I wonder if it's really worth it. Well, we probably wouldn't say that, but do we think it? Maybe we, for 4.5 years, we had a teenage Bible study in our home, and it was a teen and college age, and 20 to 40 kids every Saturday night. And the question I remember being asked most often during that time by other women was this, boy, I bet it's really hard on the house, isn't it? We had our first new home and our first new furniture then. Well, granted, the silverware on the house, but you know, in a few years' time, that's all forgotten, but the lives of the kids remain. Do we have our eyes fixed on things eternal or things temporal? We're admonished about that in 2 Corinthians 4:18. In the past few years, we've received a number of letters from some of the kids telling us what the studies have meant in their lives, how it's helped sustain them through their faith in their college years, and what they meant in their lives then. Some are in full-time Christian work now. Most of the kids had many other helps and encouragements along the way. Ours is just a small part. But if we had only been instrumental in helping one, it would have been worth a little bit of wear and tear on the house. Are we willing? And what about hospitality? Now, I realize talking to Texans about hospitality is like going to the Chinese to talk about rice, probably. But are we lovers of hospitality? Do you have a prophet's chamber, such as the Shunammite woman had in 2 Kings for the prophet Elijah? Welcome saints room? I know some of you do, because we stayed in one last night. When your church or someone in your locality has a guest speaker or a missionary coming, do you check to see if he's taken as far as the place to stay? Some of the greatest blessings we can recall are times when we've housed some of God's dear saints. I think of Dr. Jack Mitchell, who stayed in our home several days. And don't always take for granted that people would rather stay in a motel. Sometimes they would, but not necessarily. Maybe they've been gone from home so much they just love the opportunity of being in a home. Some years ago, we told Lauren and Fanny that we just love to have any and all man who came our way to stay in our home. And he said, great, he'd send us all we could take care of. Well, not quite that many came, but quite a few did. And we're the richer today for it, and so are our children. I remember one of our boys being out in the backyard one day, and he said to one of the sharp young men who came through, say, what do you think about such and such? And the fellow said, well, I'll tell you, Mike, I don't know how the Lord will deal with you on that, but I can tell you what he did in my situation. And he just shared from his heart and a few verses of scripture meant far more than anything Mom or Dad could have said. Have you let it be known far and wide that you're welcome at South? Maybe you think I'm referring to the Navigator philosophy. Well, it's true. Just remember, we haven't been with them long. For more than 6 years, we were just being helped and blessed by their ministry. And I got to used to tooting my horn about the Navigators, and then I woke up one morning, and lo and behold, I are one. What about unexpected guests? Are we flexible? I recently heard the definition of tact as being the ability to make people feel at home when you wish they were. Well, I'm not talking about that kind of hospitality. You know, Sarah, Abraham's wife, entertained angels unawares. And we're told that Zacchaeus, you know, he put Jesus home unannounced. And his wife didn't even say, well, at least you get a telephone. Probably a lot of you have tape recorders or access one. Have you thought about having a tape session a certain time each week? You know, you'll draw some women to a tape session who wouldn't come to a Bible study. And then maybe when you're better acquainted, they'd be open to a study. Or maybe you say, I couldn't be home at the same time every week. Great, let a friend play the tape. You just have your home available. I have some back trouble, and I recall at least three times in September when I've been in bed on Bible study night, 80 to 90 people coming. I couldn't clean house, let alone look after refreshments. But, you know, it's amazing, but they got along just great without me. Great. On at least four occasions, like last night, we were out of town. But, you know, this is an opportunity for us to draw other people in and make them feel a part of our ministry. When we moved to our present home in Denver, we had over 40 people offer to help us move and clean. It's a four-story home with over 50 windows. And you know how many people we said great to? More than 40. We had, when we had the dedication of a home, these were the ones we invited. And do you think they feel a part of our ministry there now? Sure they do. Then have you ever thought of making your home available to different Christian organizations, such as Young Life, Campus Crusade, InterVarsity, you could name some others? It could take a lot of pressure off of them to know that in an emergency they could call on you. And also it would help them to know that you appreciate the work they're doing for the Lord. Now maybe you're saying, well, all this sounds great, but I haven't any time. I'm not getting the things done that I already had to do. Maybe you already feel like you're on merry-go-round and can't find your horse. Or you catch yourself chasing your own, honking at your own tail. You know, Jesus never showed signs of hysteria. He never pushed a panic button. And yet he had only 3 years in which to fulfill his mission. You know the old saying that the hurrier I go, the behinder I get. Well, if we don't have time to do the things God wants us to do, then maybe we're doing some things he doesn't want us to do. Let's just be very sure that we're putting first things first. Then have you ever, as a family, dedicated your home to the Lord? Just saying, Lord, it's yours. Just use it in any way you choose to accomplish what's on your heart. Well, if you haven't, why don't you suggest it to your honey? June Bickham, one of your discussion group leaders here, when they were building their home, put scripture verses in their mortar between the bricks, dedicating that home to the Lord, claiming the promises that God would use it. And has he ever? Teenage Bible studies, fellowship meetings, welcome saints. They had Major Ian Thomas stay in their home a little while back, and as a result, he got acquainted with their son, Jay, and now Jay has been invited to visit the Thomas family in Europe this summer. You think our children are not blessed? What do you have in your hands? A home? John 11:40 to Philip says, "Did I not tell you," replied Jesus, "that if you believe, you would see the wonder of what God can do?" Let's actively commit our homes into God's hands and believe that He will do a new thing. A new thing. Maybe just in the realm of our relationship with our honey, which we've heard quite a lot about today. Or maybe our relationship to our children. Or maybe for use with the numbers. An evangelistic meeting, Bible study, fellowship meeting, prayer meeting, hospitality-wise, or whatever. Whatever He chooses. In closing, let me share Ephesians 5:15-17 from the Philip. And I'll change just one word and you'll recognize it. Live life, then, with a due sense of responsibility. Not as women who do not know the meaning and purpose of life, but as those who do. Make the best use of your time, despite all the difficulties of these days. Don't be vague, but firmly grasp what you know to be the will of the Lord. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank You that You love us and care for us. And how we thank You that You're so concerned about our relationship to You, our relationship with our husbands and with our children. And, oh, Father, today we thank You for what You've done in our hearts through these different messages. And we pray that if just in our relationship to You, we need to have things squared away, that this we might do, or with our husbands. Or, Father, if You would have us dedicate our homes to use for the numbers. Whatever it is, Father, we would pray that a lasting work might be accomplished. And we would recognize that if anything of lasting value is done today, it will be You who will do it. We thank You now in Jesus' precious name.